It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. Parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Marshmallows and toast and caroling out in the snow.
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time.
Good afternoon, everyone. How are you today? It is Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Polysports here on Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And do you remember, those of you who are like in my wheelhouse age-wise, you remember when Andy Williams would have those specials every Christmas? He'd be, let's set the tone here. He'd be wearing like gray slacks, like a burgundy or maroon turtleneck underneath like a mustard colored blazer. Then he'd have like white shoes on. I mean, like the dude had, of course he could pull it off. He's Andy Williams, but remember that Andy Williams Christmas special every year? It's just the best. It was the best. And that's one of the best Christmas songs. No two ways about it. Anyway, I am Hank Jones and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports, where politics and sports unfortunately meet or fortunately meet. Just depends. Almost time for Christmas. Holger is in the house along with Indy Hawk. Oh my gosh, Holger is in the house. He's probably here to give some grief about the Hawkeye showing in the Big Ten Championship. He's a couple weeks late. We're over it, buddy. We are over it. But hey, let's not forget his Gophers did us a favor in the first place by knocking off the Wisconsin Badgers. Hey, other shows on Global Patriot Radio every Monday. Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, Mamma Mia No Sharita, Sharita, jeez. And then, hey, Cross and the Crescent. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff is in with the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday. He's got some, Andrew and Paul have written some books recently, I think, and or at least articles, but I think books as well. They are published. And they have great stuff going on. Saturday nights, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. And then Sundays, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. Holger just pointed out Sharita is the Mexican version. Yeah, or Sharona, either one, you know. Hey, I am here. My wife's in the house on the other side of Electric Hank Land Studios. Our little Aussie has been fed, and we took her to the park. I took her to the park a little before the show so I could get the zoomies out. As you know, Australian Shepherds, especially Minis, they get the zoomies. They get to running. Ours is no exception. Hey, if you want to contact the show off book, as I said, hjpsports1980@gmail.com, or just go to Twitter at hpolysports. Go to Facebook, type in Hank Jones Polysports. Yes, there are several of us on Twitter. Holger for one. Sue is in the house. Sue's listening on the phones. That's how we communicate when we're not on the show. And if you want to log into the show, you just come to blogtalkradio.com, click on the live button, look for Global Patriot Radio. It'll tell you how many people are actually in the chat room, as a matter of fact. You don't have to go in the chat room. You can listen without doing that, by the way. Or you can call in, as several have done. Sue and Brother Tommy, Mike, Big Sister, a couple others there. That number is 319-527-6706. You can listen that way. It's a long time to be on your phone, but heck, it doesn't cost to use a phone anymore anyway. So Indy Hawk points out the chat room rules. I believe it does for those that can type well and put up with a little bit of grief, as they say, from the peanut gallery. Prayers go out, folks, as always. G-Ski from the Dave and G-Ski show. The Holger's got roasted Iowa corn on the cob in the chat room, he says. Sue and Annie always. Sue is it's good to see Sue back, but I know Sue and Annie both have had some challenges of some of various types. So be praying for them. And you know what? Prayers of thanks and praise as we near the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in that vein, a Merry Christmas to all of you. And, of course, let's get to our obituaries. Last Thursday, we lost former NHL coach Bill Mahoney at age 82. In addition to hockey, he also excelled in Canadian football, played quarterback, as well as being a top-notch fast-pitch softball pitcher. Complications of dementia. And then Thursday, we lost Leonard Nelson Hubbard, a.k.a. Hub. He was the bassist for The Roots. It was like a Philly-based R&B band. They also served as the house band for a time on Jimmy Fallon's version of The Tonight Show. And he passed away at 62 from multiple myeloma. And Friday, we lost John Morgan. No, for you folks in Florida and elsewhere, it's not that John Morgan, not For the People John Morgan. I'll leave it right there. No, this was John Morgan, age 80. He was of the English scrumpy and Western band called The Wurzels. They had two major hits in the UK. Their hit, I Am a Cider Drinker, reached number 3, while their classic called The Combine Harvester made it all the way to number 1. Yeah. That same day, we also lost artist and author Eve Babbitts at age 78 of Huntington's disease. She was known for some memoirs as well as her album covers. She did album covers for Linda Ronstadt, The Byrds, Buffalo Springfield. Her work on the second album, Buffalo Springfield Again, was the most acclaimed. She did most of her work under Ahmet Erdogan of Atlantic Records. Also had several notorious affairs. Let's not get into that. Saturday, we lost two rappers. Kangol Kid of UTFO passed away at age 55 of colon cancer. And then later that day, we lost Drakeo the Ruler at age 28 after he was stabbed backstage at the Once Upon a Time in L.A. concert. I mean, I guess as rap goes, if you're going to go out, you know, getting smoked at a concert or getting stabbed at a concert is pretty much close to Nirvana, I guess. Sunday, we lost Johnny Isaacson, former Republican U.S. representative and senator from Georgia. He was 76, and although no cause was listed, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's back in 2015, I believe. He resigned his Senate seat in 2019, which allowed, of course, what's his name, who shall not be named, not John, the Rev, Raphael Warnock. Also, Monday, we lost Paul Mitchell of the R&B group The Floaters. no age or cause was listed. They're best known for their 1977 hit, Float On, Float On, Float On. That's what the song, it's one of those songs where they sing, but they also like talk in the middle of it. I don't always go in for those, but some of them are okay. I don't mean like Mr. Jaws. I'm talking like, well, they're actual songs and then they talk a little bit. That song reached number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100, actually number 1 on the UK, and number 5 on the Irish singles chart. Not much detail, but yesterday, Brazilian Olympic diver Ian Matos passed away at age 32 from a lung infection. He competed in the men's 3-meter synchronized springboard event in Rio in 2016. They finished 8th. He and his teammate, Luis Otrello. He won 3 bronze medals also at the 2010 South American Games. And then finally, news broke today of the death of actress Sally Ann Howes at age 91. You know who she was. Best known for her role as Truly Scrumptious in the 1968 film Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. She's also nominated for a Tony for 1963 for Brigadoon. Yeah, now I can't get that damn Chitty Chitty Bang Bang song out of my head. So let's go on to something a little bit sadder. Monday, police responded to a call, Worcester, Massachusetts, after a welfare check at the home of the parents of actress and songwriter Alicia Witt. Her parents were discovered, both passed away. Evidently, they had been in declining health the past couple years. Neighbors had been helping out. Things like mowing the lawns, shoveling snow, et cetera. There was no evidence of forced entry or foul play, but supposedly they had been dealing with a broken furnace and using space heaters, but police said high levels of harmful gases. But, yeah, that's profoundly sad. Alicia Witt was on Law & Order, Criminal Intent, for a couple seasons. That's the one with Robert Gorin, Vince D'Onofrio. She's also done several Hallmark and Lifetime-style movies over the years. I wouldn't know that except Mrs. Hank watches Hallmark and Lifestyle movies and has watched plenty of them over the years, and I have seen them. It's sort of like Pulp Fiction when the guy says, my girlfriend's a vegetarian, so that makes me a vegetarian. Same thing. My wife watches Hallmark and Lifestyle or Lifetime-style movies, so Hank watches them. Yeah, Alicia Witt also did a music album recently as well. That's terrible to lose both parents like that right before the holidays. Seriously, I mean, let's hope she and her brother, she has a brother as well, they can find comfort, you know, with each other and the rest of their family, friends, whatever. That's just very sad. Okay, that kills it for the obituary. Okay, I'm sorry, I admit that was bad. Let's get out of some news and notes. On Vito's show Monday, the Alaskan, a.k.a. Boyd, put in a link on a YouTube video, and I'm gonna try copying it into the chat room. So if you're not in the chat room, you're not going to see it, but the guys in the chat room will. So Indy will see it. I don't remember. Holger was on Monday. I thought I heard him call in. Anyway, I'm going to put this link in there because it is something that everybody should see if they get a chance. So when you see it in there, you have to go in there and highlight it and right click it. We can't put hyperlinks in our chat room in the actual chats themselves. This is an interview that was actually done in 1984. Yeah, that 1984, as in how ironic and or prophetic. So it's with a guy named Yuri Bezmenov. I know, not a familiar name, but it's an important name and will become more important, frankly, as the years roll on. He was a Soviet informant and KGB agent who defected to the United States in the early 1970s. What he says and what has come to be is almost frightening. I mean, almost too profoundly prophetic. As I said, I put a link to the video in the chat room. So if you want to go into the chat room here, I'm going to read it off as well with my reading glasses and my thing up to – we're going to on this other computer, we're going to up it to like 125%. It's https://www.youtube.com/watch?v as in Victor, the equal sign, lowercase y is in yellow, uppercase E, lowercase r, uppercase K, uppercase T, uppercase V, lowercase D, uppercase E, uppercase T, and then lowercase P and W. So youtube.com/watch question mark V equals Y E R K T V D E T P W. I don't know, frankly, how important those lower and upper cases are, because they usually aren't in the front half anyway of a hyperlink, but in this case they might be. So email me, I'll send the link. I've got it here. So it's a fascinating, it's about an hour long. And I don't want to go into it because Boyd talked about it on Vito's show, but there's just several things. I mean, things that he talked about and things that were the goal of the Soviets and frankly the Chinese in how to divide America. Speaking of Soviets, Holger posted something on Twitter today, said that Fauci is an Italian word, a Sicilian word. The meaning is sickle, S-I-C-K-L-E, as in, yeah, the Russian sickle. Frightening. I'm not sure. I didn't verify it. Holger, I'm holding it to I'm holding you to your honor on whether that's truthful or not. But you know, it's kind of funny because my next item here, Dr. Fauci, yes, he is at it again. What now? Well, it seems Dr. Fauci is calling for Fox News to fire host Jesse Waters for comments that Waters made at Turning Point USA's America Fest conference. Now, Holger says it's 100% true, and Indie Hawk believes him, so the rest of you can as well. Anyway, yeah, even Yahoo News pointed out that Waters didn't call for a physical attack on Fauci, but rather violent rhetoric. I'll say, so what did Jesse Waters say? He told attendees that they should, quote, rhetorically ambush Fauci with dubious questions about National Institute of Health's funding of gain-of-function research at Wuhan Institute of Virology. In a twist of irony, Fauci said Waters will likely go unaccountable. Well, that's just one twist of irony. The twist of irony? I'll tell you. These words from Dr. Fauci, in quotes. The only thing I have ever done throughout these 2 years is to encourage people to practice good public health practices, to get vaccinated, to be careful in public settings, to wear a mask. And for that, you have some guy out there saying that people should be giving me a kill shot to ambush me. I mean, what kind of craziness is there in society these days? I know, it's kind of sounding like almost whatever, but that's my best Fauci. Oh, and who did Doc Fauci say all this? CNN, of course. That bastion of media and information integrity. Yes, Indy points out, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I'm not even sure where to begin. I'm going to try, though. Okay, Doc. First, Waters clearly said rhetorical ambush. He used the term kill shot in that vein. He did not say anything about physical attacks. Second, you're a liar. Yes, you and NIH funded gain-of-function research at Wuhan. You and NIH killed puppies in various research projects. And no, encouraging public health, vaccine, and mask wearing was not encouraged by you the past 2 years. In March of 2020, just a couple days before COVID-19 was declared a pandemic, you stated that Americans did not need to alter their behavior, which included mask wearing. You also said at one point, President Trump might be irresponsible trying to fast-track a vaccine. For God's sake, stop lying about your handling of all this. You openly stated Dopey Joe was better equipped to handle the COVID crisis. You've continued to bully the American public behind the guise of, quote, public good. You've toyed with people's fears and emotions with your back and forth on public events, sporting events, and actual basic life events like family gatherings and holidays. You've encouraged churches and schools to turn parents and students and even teachers and administrators against each other. You literally have ordained clergy who are saying things and act counter to the word of God as a result of your lies. Dr. Fauci, you are the criminal. You could help alleviate all this by just explaining who's vulnerable to COVID. What has been discovered in the 2 years since you guys all created it? And how to go about normal daily life without living in abject fear. Now, Halter, he was saying go in for the kill shot with some of the questions. Kill shot was questions in particular, I believe, that he said that's the kill shot. In other words, get him with these questions. So, Fauci, you have, in effect, spent the past 2 years either yelling fire in a crowded theater or telling people not to fear and take no precautions. Yeah, you've also willfully worked in concert with the Dems and the progressives, of course, to undermine individual freedoms, parental rights, one's personal control of their own physical and medical health, and mental health for that matter. You've been a critical component in destroying large segments of our economy, including loss of jobs, closure of businesses, crippling industries that may never recover. Yeah, Dr. Fauci, you are the problem. You need to be fired, minimum. But of course, you have not been accountable. God, I hear that guy and I just want to... He sucks. Nicholas Sandman announced that he and NBC Universal have reached a settlement in his defamation suit. Yeah, Nick Sandman, remember, you should remember, he's the former student at Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky. He was approached and verbally attacked by Nathan Phillips, a Native American activist, at a pro-life rally in Washington, D.C. back in January of 2019. A short snippet of the video went viral and appeared to show Sandman and his friends accosting Phillips. Phillips himself went media-wide with allegations of both physical and verbal abuse. Yeah, there's one thing Big Left didn't remember. Yeah, Big Left forgot. Conservatives carry cell phones, too. With cameras and video. Yeah, after distributing the full video, which showed Phillips actually approaching and verbally going after Nicholas Sandman, yeah, several people on Big Left actually apologized or retracted their initial attacks on him. Others basically, you know, deleted their social media posts attacking Sandman, who, by the way, was technically a minor at the time, being 16 years old, while others continued to put forth the original lie. Few even doubling down with a ridiculous claim that Sandman and his friends invited the confrontation. Of course, the video showed anything but that. Holger's going to be calling in shortly, by the way, I think, with his Bountygate 2 theory. Anyway, Sandman originally settled suits that he brought against CNN and WAPO, which sought damages of $275 and $250 million, respectively. I guess the suit against NBC Universal was also $275 million. If I had to guess the $20 difference, I guess it's because CNN and NBC Universal would create increased exposure and defamation by virtue of actual TV broadcast exposure. That would be my guess. By the way, Big Left, a point for consistency here. Yes, they went after a minor, Nick Sandman, just like they went after Barron Trump and others, and will continue to do so. Hell, they even went after Amy Carter when she was a kid, and Chelsea Clinton, for that matter. They also exploit another minor, Greta Thunberg, with their climate scam. And to go further, of course, it's part of Big Left, among their diverse and demonic friends, who advocate in some circles for the idea of consensual intimate relationships between adults and minors. So, yeah, in that vein, kudos to you, Big Left, for reminding us on a daily basis that nobody is safe in your twisted metaverse, especially teens and younger kids, you sick bastards. Holger, call in anytime, by the way. I'll see you up there. Just hit the one so I know it's you. So by now, we all know Democrat Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia publicly announced on Fox News Sunday that he was not going to vote in favor of La Dopey Nostra's Bilk Back Bigger bill, eventually killing it. Dem leadership said Bilk Back Bigger was meant to increase the nation's socialist safety net. That's those are my words. Senator Manchin said it will only lead to greater inflation and that he couldn't go back to West Virginia and explain the bill. His statement basically went, if I can't go back and explain it, I can't vote for it. In reality, the bill decimates U.S. energy independence, which in West Virginia means coal. And Senator Manchin is no fool. He knows that in reality, the bill cripples, if not completely destroys, the West Virginia coal industry. So in essence, Senator Manchin is not going to willfully remove himself from office just so Plastic Pelosi and Upchuck Schumer can be party heroes and increase their efforts to bring the U.S. energy industry, auto industry, and most of small business to its knees. While he may be engaging in some self-preservation, Senator Manchin no doubt sees and understands just how dangerous these people are to the survival of our country. Here's where it gets nonsensical. Upchuck Schumer says the Senate will vote on the bill in early 2022. He says that this will let every senator be able to publicly, on the floor, display their position on the bill. And, of course, La Dopey Nostra and Pelosi and Upchuck have all been pressuring Manchin. But as one Dem strategist noted, all this does is make the Democrats and their bullying look weaker and more ineffective and pathetic. It should also be noted that there are rumblings that AOC will challenge Upchuck Schumer in the primary in 2022 for his New York Senate seat. Yeah, so since Upchuck has kowtowed to AOC and the squad, he may feel he's in a no-win situation, so he has to bring a vote. I don't know. Pop the corn, folks. Warm the butter. Grab some beers. Get the salt. This could get ugly. Who knows? There could be some behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on. Who knows? Vote trading. Who knows? For now, the holidays, the bowl games, the college basketball tournaments. That is if COVID panic doesn't destroy those again. Again. Oh, you hadn't heard? Yeah, games are once again being delayed, rescheduled, or canceled or forfeited by, quote, COVID protocols. Yeah, this is in spite of players and staffs being vaccinated, but who are asymptomatic. Now, what's causing it, anyone's guess? Supposedly in South Africa, they're already over the peak of the Omicron variant. Okay, guys, we're bringing them in. We're bringing them in because we have to. We owe it. We owe the world.
I knew you were
here. He is. Here
I knew
he
you
is.
Were looking for the Viking horn.
Yeah, I just type it in. But you got to get the Viking horn. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, not bad. You know, we got killed in the Big Ten Championship, and, you know, that's it. But, hey, I thank your Gophers for getting us there.
Yeah, well, I've had numerous death threats from the state of Wisconsin, so it really wasn't worth it. And, you
have
know,
you
it's
really
like,
now?
It's,
have you really now?
It's pretty scary to get flogged to death with a frickin' Braunschweiger, you know. So, you know,
let me tell you about the time I made a Braunschweiger
omelet. Of cheddar cheese.
Yeah, hey, Wisconsin does have good cheese, though. I got to admit. No, I made a Braunschweiger omelet in college one time. That did not go over well at all. So what else is up? What's going on?
Well, you could tell from my tweets that I was a bit incensed by the results of the Tampa Bay New Orleans Saints game, and you know, while the rest of the world just kind of scratched their heads, going, "Oh my God, Tom Brady didn't score a single point. What's wrong with Tom? You know, I read some of the comments on the Buccaneers Twitter account, and they're like all over Aaron saying you got to coach better and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, I was just amazed how short a memory people have, how few people remember Bounty Gate.
Yeah, exactly.
And the you know, it's like I've always said that, you know, there's the old saying A leopard doesn't change its spots. They use that in court a lot because criminals don't change their behavior. You can put them in prison for 20 years and they don't change their behavior. Sean Payton is a criminal. He's a thug. He's a gangster.
Yeah.
And I don't know if your audience knows, but how many NFL coaches in the history of the NFL, and now how old is the NFL? How many years has the NFL been in existence?
Close to 100, probably, or right around there.
Around 100 years.
Yeah.
In 100 years, how many NFL coaches have ever been suspended for a season?
None that I know of. Other than...
Just one.
Yeah.
Just one. Sean Payton. So here's my little Bounty Gate 2 theory is this. Is the Saints went into that game having to win that game.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, they were 6-7 going into that game. If they lose, they're going to be 6-8 and basically be out of it.
Yeah.
So they have to win. Sean Payton conveniently is out with COVID. So he's got his sycophant, Allen, in as coach. And so coincidentally in the game, the not two offensive tackles, not one defensive end, not a couple free safeties got injured for the Buccaneers. No, the three top offensive performers other than Brady all left the game with injuries. Chris Godwin leaves with an injury. Mike Evans leaves with an injury. And Leonard Fournette leaves with an injury. The top three offensive players on the entire team other than the quarterback all leave with injuries.
Sure.
My further evidence I'll give you is the fact is go back and look at the video of the injury to Chris Godwin. The guy from the Saints who ended his season, because he's gone. He's out for the entire rest of the year. That probably could end his career. He wrecked up his ACL. If you look at that, was P.J. Williams is the guy from the Saints that did that. If you look at the video, you'll see that in slow motion that P.J. Williams has got an option of the entire lower half of the body of Godwin to tackle, and he absolutely precisions his hip just below the knee. You'll notice how low he is.
Can you tell me a good Holger, you got a place, because the only thing I'm seeing just pictures. I'm not seeing video. Oh wait, maybe I'll go. Let me go down further. Let me just look at it. Because Brady is wanting the rule changed.
You don't have to do it now. I'm just saying later on. Just
no. I just want to see. I just want to see it.
Yeah. But I'll continue while you're searching for that, because it's you'll see it in different videos and stuff. I mean, if you go to YouTube and just type in, you know, Godwin injury, I think there's a video of it there. And here's my point. What people don't remember from Bounty Gate 1, that of course was the infamous, you know, the revelation that the Saints defensive coordinator had issued a bounty system came to light after they played the Vikings, and Brett Favre was assaulted all day long and eventually left the game and left football as a career because of what the Saints did to him that day. Okay? It later turned out that the defensive players were actually paid bounty money to take him out, to injure him off the field so that they could win the game. Okay? And that's the reason Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, the reason he was suspended indefinitely from the league, and Sean Payton was suspended for a full year, the next year, 2012. He was suspended from the entire league for a full year because of what went on. What people don't understand about Bounty Gate 1 was that this system that Sean Payton and Greg Williams had put into play was in effect for many games. And in fact, it transcended even into the start of the next season. They targeted, I just mentioned what they did to Favre,
right,
who was with the Vikings at the time, but they also targeted Kurt Warner, I believe was with the Cardinals at the time, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, and Matt Hasselbeck. Okay, so here's the deal. Sean Payton is a criminal, but he's not a stupid guy. Okay, so he can't use the bounty on this game with the Buccaneers. He can't use the bounty on the quarterback. I mean, my God, it's Tom Brady for one thing. If they take out Brady's knee on purpose, that's he's dead meat.
Yeah, no doubt.
So what do you do if you can't take Brady out? What do you do? You take everybody that he throws to or hands the ball off to. And I
looking at that Williams hit, there's a guy over the middle. I mean, he's literally coming over the middle, and the guy just launches right at his knee. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, looking at it.
Yep. Yep.
Now, I didn't look at the other one. Fournette, I won't look at because Fournette has been a walking injury his entire career. I mean, there's not much. It doesn't take much to get that guy to say, I need to sit a game. I mean, he's always been one of those.
You'll notice in Fournette's injury that the guy comes up on him and goes way low on him.
Okay.
And it's a running play, and it's basically in the middle of the field in a crowded area and stuff. You know, it's not like he's in an open field where you're going to try and just take his legs out. You know, a typical, and I don't know who made the tackle, but so I'm just saying there hasn't been a single peep. You know, I'm not a believer in coincidences.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you're gonna try and take out the offense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but you can't touch Tom Brady, it only seems very logical that a criminal-minded Sean Payton would direct them to those three players. You know, like I said, the backup tight end didn't go down with an injury. The backup running back didn't go out with an injury. The left guard didn't go down with an injury. So,
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if they will look at it, but it sounds like Brady is making some noise about it at least, so I can see, you know, maybe they will look at it. That hit on Williams certainly, or on Godwin certainly looks to me like intentional. Now, I'm not an expert, but, you know, it's very similar to the hit, if you remember the national championship game between Ohio State and Miami, half a lifetime ago for some, a third of a lifetime for me, roughly. If you remember that hit on Willis McGahee, where they, you know, it looked pretty bad where he, you know, he's, I mean, now he ended up playing later on in his career was not over at that point, but it was a pretty brutal, I mean, it went right at the, it looked like it went right at the knee. I mean, it was, you know, and you always wonder, I mean, you know, why a guy would tackle like that. I mean, defensive backs do tend to tackle like that. They tend to use the, you know, that kind of a rolling shoulder tackle. But still, I mean, going at the knee is just, you would think. I mean, because if you get a reputation of doing that, then it's going to fire, you know, it's going to come back on you, you know. I mean, the fact Jack Tatum didn't get attacked later is, you know, over.
Well, it's always irritated the piss out of me. That, you know, you get on the pregame for the NFL on Fox. You know, you got former players, former stars like Carrie Bradshaw and Howie Long and Michael Strahan, you know, sit there and kiss the ass of Sean Payton. You know, every time they have a Saints game on, you know, oh, you know, here's the, you know, the announcers are kissing his ass and all this. This was a guy thrown out of the league for a year, the only coach in the history of the league to be suspended. And quite frankly, my big problem with this is that if I paid someone to break Dr. Fauci's knee.
Hey, you know, he was a star basketball player. He was a star basketball player back in high school. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You remember they talk about it? He was a ball hawk on defense, meaning he sucked, but he tried really hard.
Well, if I paid somebody to take him out.
Sort of like when Minnesota or Iowa recruits a white defensive back and they say, he's got a really high motor. You know, in other words, yeah. He's not fast. He's got white guy speed, but he tries harder than anyone.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's the difference. Holzer, if he contracted somebody to take Fauci's knee out, you know, and it was discovered, Holzer would be sitting in a frickin' prison cell.
Yeah, you would.
A federal supermax for the next 10 years, you know. Meanwhile, Sean Payton walks the sidelines with people like, you know, Michael Strahan kissing his ass, being an NFL player.
I like Strahan,
know,
actually.
End the career. So,
yeah, I'm kind of surprised in that regard that it hasn't come back on him. And at this point, looking at that hit, I'm sorry. I mean, it really does to me looks intentional. And the way he got up afterward, or the way he Williams afterward was like yeah, and he started thumping his chest. It's like, man, you just took a guy's knee out. I'm surprised though that Godwin was able to.
He made a lot of money with that hit.
Yeah, he got Godwin walked off the field. Yep. Well, maybe. We'll find out.
No, we won't find out. Jesus.
Yeah, you might. I mean, now that you've brought it up, maybe I'll have to send a letter to the league office.
I was kind of my original emails, I was copying everybody on the tweet. I was doing to Fox NFL.
How'd that go?
Just immediate responses all across the board, you know.
But, yeah, I'm sure they're all calling you up. You'll be appearing on NFL Sunday this week, probably, no doubt. So
I would say this. I'll finish with this, that if you are a offensive star playing on an NFL team that has the New Orleans Saints on your schedule the next 3 weeks, you might want to just take a little more insurance out on your knees,
and do a COVID sit out or something. Walk into the locker room coughing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I gotta go in line. I can't shake this cough. That's not a bad thought. So, hey man, it was good talking to you. You got any special Christmas plans?
Trying to stay warm in the Northland here.
Yeah, how are the flu numbers this year?
Oh, flu numbers are way down.
Still, again. Sure. It's like, well, remember when you called last year, you mentioned that normally they were like, I forgot, you said how many thousand were normally hospitalized with the flu, and at that point only 60, I think you said. 60 people.
Yeah. I haven't checked, and you know, I happened to be at the pharmacy the other day, and there wasn't a single sign up about getting your flu shot. So apparently they just, I mean, I don't know, maybe they don't even have a flu shot anymore.
Either that, or they somehow slip it in some other way. But yeah, I just saw something about a kid that was given the shot, in an 11-year-old that was given the shot. It was a custody battle, of course, between mom and dad. Yep. And a judge ruled that the kid had to get the jab. Didn't say, got to work this out. Just said, got to get the jab. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
11 years old.
You've heard of these you've heard of these people that have gone in to get vaccinated and they basically gave them the COVID vaccine by mistake. You know, wink, wink, nod, nod.
You mean get in for vaccinated for other stuff? You mean kids going in to get vaccinated? Or adults?
No, just adults.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I went in, I was at the pharmacy to get, I wanted to get vaccinated for shingles. Okay.
Okay.
And it's a two shot deal. And so on the second shot, I go in for the second shot and the pharmacist comes in to give me this injection. And I said, okay, I hold up my hand. And I said, just want to do a quality control check here. That is the second shingles vaccine, right? You mind if I look at the bottle?
Yeah, you just look at the manufacturer. If they bring it out in a Pfizer or a Moderna box, yeah, probably need to. You know, I'm going to pass. I don't. You know, shingles ain't so bad after all.
God,
I don't know.
All right, buddy.
You know, okay, hey, good talking to you. Have a good holiday.
Thanks for letting me call in. See you later.
Not at all, man. Talk to you later.
You bet. Bye.
The always welcome. Bounty Gate 2. You know, didn't think about that. You know, at first I was wondering why Tom Brady was talking like that. Now I understand. After the Bounty Gate before with Sean Payton, yeah, when three guys go out with injuries, that's probably something they should look at. That's a good thought. I mean, now he's going to have me thinking I'm going to be all conspiracy theory the next couple of days, but hey. Oh, so where were we? Okay, so remember I said games were getting canceled and whatnot. So yeah, we've had college basketball, NFL, NHL, NBA, etc., either canceled or rescheduled or whatever. We're hearing about surges. Guess what we're not hearing though? Now we did hear that South Africa's huge spike from Omicron has passed already. Here's what we're not hearing though. That's why I asked Holger about flu numbers. Yeah, we're not hearing hospitalization numbers or death numbers. Have you noticed that? We haven't heard anything about surge in death cases. Why? I'll tell you why. Because as it's been pointed out all over the place, me, Vito, Al, whoever, the Omicron variant is a scam. It's actually supposedly less virulent than the previous ones. I don't think they can keep using the – this keeps getting worse. Of course, that doesn't keep – people from getting fired from jobs. Here's a quick story from Epic Times. If my thing would open it. Basically, a professor at the University of California who was actually helping out during the initial stages of COVID, buying protective equipment for nurses, masks, whatever, bringing in other kinds of medicine, you know, just like over-the-counter stuff for people. So basically, the University of California fired him. Why? Because he defied the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. What he said was natural immunity should be an exception. So he wrote a letter, farewell, or a post, farewell, University of California. It ends his longtime role as... this is ironic, as the medical ethics director at University of California, Irvine Health. He worked unpaid nights helping the president's office draft triage procedures and strategies, guidelines for scarce resource use during the pandemic. When N95 masks were scarce, he found a supply at a local construction company and brought them in. And as Mike has pointed out, there is no surge in hospitalizations or deaths from Omicron COVID. It's a head cold, particularly in your vaccinated. Exactly. So, oh no, T. Bodie just messaged. He's not going to be able to make it in today onto the show. So, oh well. So this guy, his name, Dr. Cariotti, I don't know if it's pronounced right, Aaron Cariotti, So he said the university, they were fans of his work until suddenly they weren't. He said once he challenged one of their policies, he immediately became a threat to the health and safety of the community. No amount of empirical evidence about natural immunity or vaccine safety and efficacy mattered. So there's that. People are still losing jobs over this. Even though the Omicron, as we know, has not been as advertised. It's not helping them. On somewhat of a feel-good story, Coastal Carolina's football team got some good news. Quarterback Grayson McCall, he's been the catalyst for their recent success. Anyway, he announced he's staying for another year, and some people are saying, well, he has no choice. He has no pro future. Think again. He does have a choice. Out for the draft. He could try his luck in Canada or arena ball or whatever, or even a semi-pro league in hopes of doing well enough to get an NFL shot. Or he could just retire from football entirely, as others have done. Whether that means a job in the corporate world or coaching or whatever, it's immaterial. The point is, he's choosing to stay at Coastal Carolina. It's a good thing. Good for him. On another front, former Iowa Hawkeye Tyrone Tracy Jr. has committed to Purdue. And that's sort of a natural fit after Purdue's all-world wide receiver David Bell opted for the draft. And while Tyrone Tracy is not on David Bell's level, he does have the speed and the talent to see the field. Now, for whatever reason, he was seeing the field less at Iowa, but he was a good teammate. He gave it his all. And so we should wish him well. Holger asks, if I know who Tua Tagovailoa is. Of course I know who Tua Tagovailoa is. Just can't say it very well. But anyway, I wish Tyrone Tracy well. I hope he doesn't do well against Iowa per se, but I hope he does well. I wish him luck. It seems that the National Association of School Boards is hemorrhaging cash. Yeah, after they why is this last NFL game Sunday, Holger? Oh, because they're playing the Saints. I got it. Okay. It seems the National Association of School Boards is hemorrhaging cash. And remember they wrote that letter to the DOJ asking for parents to be dealt with as terrorists at public meetings. So what happened? Well, surprisingly, 12 states. Yeah, not surprisingly. 12 states have cut ties with the group. All of us have withdrawn their funding. That funding amounts to about $1.1 million, which coincidentally is the approximate amount of their shortfall. The 12 states that cut ties, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, Montana, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Wisconsin. Some of those, frankly, they're a surprise. I would bet that there are other states that will follow suit. In the meantime, let's applaud those 12 states for refusing to fund the Nazi bullying intimidation tactics, like use of the machine of the Department of Justice. To go after the parents of school children. Hey, remember our old pal, Dr. Charles Lieber, up there at Harvard? Yeah, it seems Doc Lieber was convicted by a federal jury in Boston for lying about his ties to Red China and the Wuhan Institute of Technology. Remember, we talked about this early in 2021, or in 2020, I'm sorry. He was participating in Red China's 1,000 Talents program, wherein Red China works with outsiders to glean information about everything from technology to medical to military. He had agreed to become, quote, a strategic scientist back in 2011. Now, while that itself is not a crime, Lieber not disclosing involvement and later lying about it is, in fact, a crime. Now, prosecutors said Lieber lied about his involvement in response to inquiries from the U.S. Department of Defense and National Institute of Health. The NIH had awarded him $15 million in research grants. Yeah, in other words, folks, these idiots prefer to do their due diligence after the fact rather than before handing out our $15 million, our $15 million. When Lieber was questioned after his arrest, he told FBI investigators that he was, quote, young and stupid when he agreed to the deal, which paid him $50,000 a month and up to $158,000 in living expenses. Doc, that's not a case of young and stupid. the case of Greedy and Grabby. I'm going to bring in Hawkeye Mike in a second because I have some questions about this. Remember, all this happened about 2 months before all the COVID stuff hit the country, which was led in part by the athletic and academic world, by the Ivy League. Remember, they canceled all their winter and spring sports and closed down their campuses. That was about a week before the declaration. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Mike, how you doing, man?
Doing good, Hank. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So, okay, I don't know if you've been following this case that closely, but basically he took money from the Wuhan Institute of Technology. He got $15 million in grants from us, but he lied about it and, you know, said he wasn't. What theoretically could happen to him? I mean, you have a legal background. What could happen to this guy? What's the most that you think would happen?
Well, I wasn't too familiar with the with what was going on, so I did read an article or two about it a little while back because I thought you might want to talk about it. So, well, I think that what they're charging him with, which I believe are two counts of lying to the FBI, because apparently he wasn't honest about what was going on when they talked to him, and also a couple counts of tax evasion because he didn't report the income. He was getting apparently compensated quite handsomely by the Chinese for his services. So, so they got multiple counts filed against them, income tax evasion and lying to the FBI. So, and also for failing to register with the U.S. government because he was getting or he was involved in a program that was getting government funding and that requires a disclosure of things like if you're getting paid by the Chinese. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
You know, if you're involved. So he's got like six counts against him. Is there anything else they could charge him with? It depends. He could run afoul of some espionage statutes if it turns out that he was actually, you know, a spy. I don't know if that's the case. I think in this case, he was probably, in it for the, they were paying him handsomely.
Yeah.
He got to do some research. And he obviously didn't have any scruples about working for the Chinese. And it would be interesting to know, though, if he was involved in anything like maybe what Fauci's been accused of being involved in, which is gain of function type related stuff with the Wuhan lab.
Yeah. So if you had to guess, do you think this is really just greed, or do you think there's something more nefarious or not? Would you, if you had to guess?
My guess is no, but. I'm not completely secure in that. I'd like to see if, he's actually, was involved in some sort of espionage or doing things, or there's an in-between there, just doing things he shouldn't have been doing with the Chinese, who is not technically an enemy, but they are a foreign power and they are de facto an enemy. But probably not. It's more like, what Fauci's been accused of doing, which is being complicit with, Chinese and others being complicit with Chinese interests, like the Wuhan lab stuff, gain of function. I'm guessing it's probably that. But they're going after this guy aggressively because, apparently he was getting as much as 50 grand a month.
Yeah, 50
so
grand
a
month. A
little bit. It's not just a little bit of tax evasion here, if that's true.
Yeah.
And then not reporting it and basically lying about the work he was doing with the Chinese. So it's pretty serious.
If you had to guess, do you think they're going after more people? I mean, you think he's – or do you think this – because it sounds like the Biden administration is supposedly, quote, is reviewing their reviewing their future.
Well,
so, hey, you got something out, in the background that's making noise.
Okay, so let me get that here. Sorry about that.
Okay, not a problem. I just
I got it.
Do you think
like,
you think they're
going to
go after
going
more people or no?
Well, it depends. But here's what I do think will happen. If there is anybody else involved, and there may well be, he's looking at a lot of prison time from these convictions. So if he wants to get any kind of a deal on this, he's going to have to sing like a canary. So
yeah.
If there is other people involved, I would think that, you know, they've got some leverage on this guy now with these convictions to get him to fess up.
Okay. Now let's twist a little bit over to the military side, since you did serve our country, for which I appreciate. Full disclosure, you and I both have been vaxxed. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, but what is your feeling on the vax mandate in the military? I mean, is it something that's crazy and they should not even be doing it? Or do you think there's something, is there a safety issue? I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, I mean,
my personal view is just simply, I'm kind of libertarian on this. I don't support mandates, vaccine mandates.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, these are decisions that people have to make. I'm a vaccine believer. I've had my, you know, both Pfizer shots, and I've been boosted, and you know, I haven't had any, at least that I know of. And it's possible that I, you know, there was something out the other day about like 40% of all people that have been getting COVID, they think were asymptomatic.
Yeah,
which is very interesting if true. But COVID. I've never been tested because I've never had any symptoms. But
right.
but my view is that I think you should. I would recommend to people that they get vaccinated, particularly if they're our age or older.
Yeah.
If you have any comorbidities. But you know, we're talking about in the military. We're talking about young people.
Yeah.
And they're pretty
that's
much immune to any serious illness. So as a practical matter, with these vaccines, I just think these mandates, and it's not just in the military, just these mandates in general. I don't know. I just, as a freedom loving American, I don't believe that people should be forced to inject themselves with medications they don't want to do to save their jobs or to, you know, to remain in the military. Plus, in the military, I think they just changed this. But you were not getting an honorable discharge if you were being kicked out because you didn't want to get a vaccine. They were giving them, I think, general discharge, which is very problematic. I think they just changed that so that that people are not being denied honorable discharge. That's a real problem. I think they knew there was going to be some legal problems if they didn't change that part. But, no,
yeah.
I mean, the short answer is no, I don't support mandates, vaccine mandates, and I don't support them for the military.
Yeah. Now, what about this other stuff that's come up in the military about social media usages, like likes and shares? Have you seen that?
This is disturbing to me because it comes out of this belief that there's a bunch of white supremacists, you know, oath keepers or Proud Boy types that are in the military that have to be weeded out. The problem is that's the meme, but you know, there's a very fine line here. Does being a Republican make you suspect? If you were spotted wearing a MAGA hat, or if you're just, you know, a conservative, that's the danger. Is this thing becomes a weapon for the administration to use against people whose political philosophies they don't like?
Yeah.
And it looks like they're trying to purge the military of conservatives or Republicans or something. I mean, that's the danger. That's the red flag that I see.
Yeah. I mean, have we reached
in
our military?
Are we going after BLM types? Are we going after BLM types that might exist or closet commies? I mean, remember how that is. You know, back in the witch hunt days right in the 50s when, you know, innuendo and stuff, that you were a communist or something would have you, you know, being investigated as un-American. And are we going to do this in reverse now?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, is the military, have we reached a point there where the military is forever? I mean, are we doing to our military what I fear we have done to our FBI? In that, you know, from a leadership perspective, that these people just can't be trusted anymore, that these people don't have our country's best interest at heart? you know?
Well, the priority is not war fighting and winning the war. The priority is social justice and you know, wokeism.
Yeah.
And that's not going to win you any wars. That's the real danger.
Yeah. Indy pointed out, number of deaths from the Omicron variant, one. Number of deaths from Alec Baldwin, one. So Alec Baldwin's tied right now with the Omicron variant. And Holter pointed out the Capitol Police, five deaths to one from the Omicron. So,
Well, they pointed out the other night that there were more deaths from people choking in the last month from people choking on food than from the you know, various variants of COVID. So, particularly Omicron. So,
Holter pointed out there have been 800,000 deaths from COVID. Remember when, in addition to the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, remember we were also told that because if we didn't flatten the curve, there'll be 2 million deaths in the next month, was how they were saying it. And of course, that never came.
Well, the bigger problem, too, is that, 800,000 deaths, and we've seen that number. But, what qualifies as a COVID death? Because my understanding is if you were killed in a car accident and during the autopsy they did various tests on your corpse and it turned out, lo and behold, that you were COVID positive, that would count for reporting purposes as a COVID death. I mean, it's completely absurd.
Yeah.
So,
it is.
You know, I mean,
absolutely.
You know, or to be more, you know, that maybe that's unusual, but how many people that died of COVID were basically on their last legs? They were very ill, very old, and they were on their last legs anyway, and that was part of, you know, 10 or 12 different, you know, life-threatening morbidities they had. That, you know, that they passed away. I mean, we don't know those numbers. At least I haven't seen what those numbers are. You know, do we know what the percentage of the of these 800,000 people? How many of them were over 70? How many of them were over 75? I have a strong suspicion that we're talking very, very high percentage here. And I think that gives a lot of context to what's going on with this disease.
Yeah, and hold your point out. Hospital gets financial reasons.
But we don't.
Yeah.
We don't know. I haven't seen those numbers. I'd like to.
Yeah. It's a pretty. I mean, the whole thing has gotten scary. I mean, it really has. I mean, just what we're seeing with, you know, you're still hearing, you know, how we can. Oh, we might be able to celebrate Christmas. I mean, literally, we're talking to. This is our second Christmas now, like this. You know, I mean, it's just. It's absurd, as far as that goes. Like you said,
how many people are listening? How many people are listening to what Fauci says? I mean, it's just the American public's tuning out.
Yeah,
even in the
blue
states, you know, any threat of going back to lockdowns now, I mean, you're seeing people are just not going to put up with it. You got a whole bunch of these county executives in New York, you know, about as blue as you can get, who are saying we're not enforcing these mask mandates that this new governor tried to impose. It's just we're after 2 years of this, people are just, you know, we know what the deal is with COVID. You know, everybody's been through this for 2 years. And you know, we want at some point you live your life, right? You get vaccinated, you do what you can. Before COVID, there was death. There's death with COVID. It's a part of life. And something gets you in the end. And there's been a lot of contagious disease before COVID, and there will be after.
Yeah, I mean, they've masterful in how they worked it. And now it's up to us as Americans, basically. Be wise as serpents pointed out in the chat room that you're seeing – In Europe, you're seeing people that are fighting this, you know, fighting these mandates and fighting these lockdowns. I mean, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you'd have told me that Europeans were get up in arms, I would have said no. I mean, there's nobody more complicit and compliant and weak in that regard than most Europeans. But man, they're stepping up. So maybe Americans need to take.
Yeah, they're having riots in Paris and other parts of Europe. Yeah,
Americans need to see this and understand it. I'm seeing people wearing masks again. You know, we're seeing less and less. I'm seeing people wearing masks again. And I'm like, really? I mean, at this point, you know, it's, you know. Well, anyway, thanks for coming in. Stay on if you want. I'm going to play our break music, and then I'm going to bring in brother Tommy, and T Bodie's on, so I'm going to try and get him on. So if he will, but if he won't, whatever. But let's take a quick break for some music, and folks, grab your coffee, your beer, whatever it is you're having. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Soul Orchestra with Merry Christmas All. Hey, Brother Tommy's in the house now. Brother Tommy, you there?
I am here.
Yeah. T Bodie's in the house. I don't know if he's listening or if he's listening on his phone or if he's at his phone. Are you, T Bodie? You are there. Maybe you can't talk?
I'm here.
Okay, you are there. Okay. Yeah, I had to bring you in.
I'm here. It took me a while.
Okay.
Had a busy day.
Oh, but Vito says I got to do it, so hold on just a second. He's right. I do have to do it. Where is it? Where is that song? Here we go.
Hey, Vito, take care of me, man.
This is TJ, dedicating the song to Let Betty.
Whoa, Black Betty, bam a lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, bam a lamb. She's from Birmingham, bam a lamb. Way down in Alabama, bam a lamb. The way she shake that thing, bam a.
Okay, that's enough. You didn't have to do that.
Vito knows rule number one, stroke your guest egos.
Yes, he does. Oh, he
that's
does.
That's why
okay.
He's in charge, and you're just a little minion.
I know. Okay, so we got some surprising results from the bowl games thus far. Coastal Carolina, that wasn't a surprise, but they did come back on Northern Illinois, and then Northern Illinois got to their four-yard line, and Coastal held them off. And then South Carolina State beat Jackson State. Remember, Jackson State had that recruiting coup, and they're being heralded as the next best thing, or next big thing.
Yeah.
And then here's a toss-up in terms of what's a bigger surprise, the fact that the MAC, the Mid-American Conference, is 0-4, or this one, that conference has 8 teams playing in bowl games. The MAC has 8 teams playing in bowl games. Okay, here's a good one. I'll get your guys' opinion on this. Bama has had 2 assistants test positive, and they've already increased their protocols. Michigan is going to do a 100% booster shot participation. And, quote, Miami, quote, an outbreak is occurring at Miami, Florida. So, Brother Tommy, one of your kids had COVID with very little effect. From a player's perspective, with age and stuff, do you think they're overdoing this?
Yeah, I think they're totally overdoing it. I think they're buying into mass hysteria. My 18-year-old at the time, he might have been 19. I think he was 18. Doesn't matter. Anyways, it's no different than waking up in a typical day. He was at the university, so they got tested and all of that. He said it was like the sniffles. He said, I didn't notice anything. So, yeah, unless there's, like Hawkeye Mike pointed out, you know, there's morbidities, obesity. I think maybe the offensive and defensive line should be tested. But beyond that, no, I don't. Like Hawkeye Mike, sure. I take a very libertarian stance on this. And, no, I do not think it should be mandated testing. In fact, I'm surprised there's not more Kyrie Irvins out there saying, fuck it, I'm not going to get tested.
Yeah. Now, T. Bodie, you also had it, but you're old, like me, quote-unquote. Should they let the kids live a little and just lock up the old fogies on the sidelines and in the booth? I mean, I think
that they should allow the kids to make their own damn decisions. I think that my kids had it, too, you know, 24 and 20. And my kids already have made the determination not to get vaccinated because what they see happening around them with athletes and people that are active that are young. And I don't know what the stats are now, but in any given year, these athletes that have had heart issues, only 9 have died of something like, you know, a year. And this year, for some reason, it's 125. These are athletes, you know, people that are healthy. I think that they're way overdue. You know, it's just sad that they're not fighting back. I think the thing with Kyrie Irving being able to play outside of New York, I'm starting to talk now. You know, all of a sudden, you know, maybe common sense is being brought back in. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's move on because we've beat COVID to death, so to speak. A couple more bowl skip outs from the SEC. LSU senior linebacker Damon Clark is opting out of the Texas Bowl. Missouri sophomore running back Tyler Beatty, and he's the top rusher in the SEC. He's skipping the Armed Forces Bowl. The second one comes with a twist, though, this next one. Tyler Beatty, supposedly Missouri coach Eli Drinkwitz said it was his decision to withhold Tyler Beatty, not Tyler Beatty's decision. T. Bodie, your thoughts on that? I mean, do you believe it, first of all?
First I've heard of it. I don't know enough to comment about it, I guess. I think that if he is, I think that's really wrong. Why would you, you know, you're not doing the players any favors. They're not going to get hurt. How often does players get hurt in a bowl game? You know?
Yeah. A kid from Notre Dame a couple years ago, and they keep bringing that up, but it's not been widespread. You're right. Brother Tommy, go ahead. I'm sorry, T.
Take out a Lloyd's of London insurance policy if you're really, you know, that worried.
Yeah, exactly. Brother Tommy, so, okay, do you believe a coach has the right to do it any more than he could force a kid to play that didn't want to? I mean, do you think the coach is right for doing it if in fact, that's the case?
The case being, like T. Bodie, I know nothing about it, but unlike him, I don't have any problems commenting about something I don't know. I don't get what the thrust is, though. The coach pulled him out because of COVID, or so he doesn't get hurt.
The coach just quote unquote is keeping him because he said he really wants to play. Let me pull it up quick. I purposely saved the link.
He wants to play, but the coach is keeping him out. Is that the thrust?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't. I mean, a coach has a right to do whatever he wants to do. So if he doesn't want him to play because he wants to play a younger guy, certainly a coach's prerogative. But if I was a player, I would be a little pissed if I wanted to play, and I would go public and I would say that this is bullshit. I've given my time to this school for so many years. I didn't get beat out in practice. He's just making some sort of moral judgment that's affecting me. I don't think a coach has a right to do that. Does a coach have a right to bench a player? Absolutely. So I'm sure there's a backstory here we're not familiar with. I'm guessing.
Well,
I don't know.
Here's the quote. Here's the quote from Eli Drinkwitz, the Missouri coach, in the ESPN story. He says, his heart wants to play in this game, but as coaches, at some point, we've got to step back and protect our players.
But why just
says,
that
protect
player?
Our players for, he says, protect our players for
career?
Yeah. He says, protect our players for their future. So it's been my decision that we will not play Tyler Beatty in this game. He says, I know that if we ask him to play.
That's coaches speak for, I want to let someone else play. I want to get someone else fresh.
Yeah.
That's all that.
This is the leading rusher in the SEC. You know, I just.
Yeah, what's he going to do for him next year? Bowl games are nothing but a little pageant. That's all they are, unless it's the big ones, you know.
What about the linemen, the guys that are, like, in med school or pre-med school and going to be surgeons and, don't want to injure their fingers? Are they going to hold them out too?
You mean all those
guys that are going to med school out of football? I'm kidding. There's some that go. I mean,
we had Jake Rudock.
This is weird to me. He says we wanted to take this. He said we wanted to take the stress off of him and not put a position between have pick between himself and his future or our football team. He says I know as he wanted to play. I thought this is off. Either way, he his brother to me said he doesn't he wants to play someone else or B something else happened and he wants to give him the embarrassment. That's the only thing I can think of.
I promise you this: there is nothing altruistic about it. I promise you that. If that were the case and he realized he had this potential 7 games ago, why didn't you pull him out then if you know he was going to go to the pros? It's bullshit. It's altruistic. He's doing it for himself. Excuse me, it's anything but altruistic. He's doing it for selfish motives. And if the guy's not going to be there next year, why not get a younger running back that's capable of being a leading rusher some more reps? And you're going to see that cross bowl game altogether.
Okay, next one's on some transfers. We've got a couple high-profile ones. In addition to, Dylan Gabriel, who's announced from UCF, who's now going to UCLA. But here's a couple ones. Bama got former LSU All-American cornerback Eli Ricks. And then they got running back Jumper Gibbs. And then Florida got Ohio State's backup quarterback Jack Miller. Now, he was a 4-star out of high school. So here's my question. I'll start with Brother Tommy. How long before we see coach jumping schools and taking half their rosters or cherry picking? You think it's going to be a problem?
No, I do not. I think the whole thing's a problem. I think the portal's a problem, but I think it's also a reflection of what coaches can do. I don't think that's fair either that a coach can leave, but no, I do not think you're going to get it to that level where they bring half a roster, only because logistically it's almost impossible with scholarship limits and stuff. You can't do it. So,
Bo, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I was going to say the same thing. The only ones where it's going to happen is like what we were saying with like Deion Sanders with Jackson State and stuff. Some young upcoming coach that might be able to recruit and get a top player because of the coach. He might take that one and try. I can't see them doing a whole team.
I
think
a lot of whole team.
Most of these kids go to a school because that's the school they want to play for. In the coach scheme and things like that. If nothing of that changes, the kids don't want to transfer. They want to play in front of
the
family.
The aforementioned one case where a 5-star is going to go with Deion, if Deion just hypothetically were to get UF deal, yes, that will happen. I agree 100% with that. Yeah. It's just you're not going to be taking 10 players. It's just a theoretical impossibility. You couldn't do it because of scholarship limitations.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, before we get to the picks, what 3 Christmas movies or specials are a must for you each year? I did it with 2 different guys. My wife is saying, you did it last week. I did it with 2 different guys. I didn't do it with you guys. So,
well, I don't really know. I don't watch enough TV, I guess. I always love anything Charlie Brown if it comes on, but I don't go out of my way to find it. Same with night, just anything. If they come on and I'm in the mood, I'll watch it, but I don't go out of my way to watch anything.
Okay. Brother Tommy.
It's a Wonderful Life. One that I discovered between now and last Christmas, actually, four Christmases. And the other one would be Vacation Christmas, that one, whatever the hell it's called.
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation, right.
You hear Charlie Brown in the background.
What's that?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll heavily recommend South Park Christmas episode.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it? Oh my.
No, never have.
That's
hey,
a
Brother
bummer,
Tommy.
Dude.
Go ahead.
Jesus, that's
sorry.
A bummer. Your birthday is Christmas. He goes, yeah, I know.
Okay, Brother Tommy, off the top of your head, give me the three best Christmas songs, any genre, sacred, secular, rap, rock, jazz, country. By the way, I said country. By the way, if you name a country song, I'll know you were adopted. So name the three.
Okay, I will. The one you just played, I'm going to go semi-K here and say Must Have Been the Mistletoe. And I'll go with that one that I like, not Boss Skaggs. I always get them confused with Driving Home for Christmas. Driving Home for Christmas.
Chris Rea. T-Bone, you got three Christmas songs that you would say, in addition to Charlie Brown, that you must hear every year?
No, like I said last week when you asked, Springsteen's got a couple of them that I like when they come on, just because I always like Springsteen, but I'm anti-Springsteen, so I don't care.
That's fair enough.
Let's think. I like Christmas music in general, and I can tell you this: we've been driving around. This week, my son is working with me, and he's a heavy metal guy. And so we've been hearing Christmas music by Lemmy and Christmas music, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, and it's actually pretty cool. So, I like all Christmas music.
Okay,
sucker for it. I don't go on
Okay, now this week's bowl predictions. Last week, Indy and I both went 7-5. Mike went 6-6. And depending on time constraints next week because of some family commitments, we'll have to figure out. I'll be in contact how we'll do the next week. But we'll start, Brother Tommy, the Armed Forces Bowl, Missouri versus Army. Army is a 6.5-point favorite. Who are you going
Army.
With?
Army.
T-Bodie?
Well, Missouri's not going to play their best player. I'm going to go with Army.
I didn't think about that. I led you guys right into that, didn't I? Okay. I'm going to go with Missouri. I just don't see a major conference team losing to Army, but that's me. So, okay, next up, T. Bodie, the Frisco Classic Bowl with North Texas against Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio is a 4.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I got to go with Miami of Ohio, you know.
Okay, Brother Tommy.
North Texas. Pretty sure North Texas is the one that upset UTEP, if I'm not mistaken. But
yes,
not UTEP, UTSA. But they might not be. But anyways, I'm going to go North Texas.
Okay. I'm taking North Texas as well, mainly because the MAC is – they got eight teams in bowls, but I'm guessing that they're going to lose all eight games. I think they've started the trend, so I think they're going to keep it going. Now, this is a good one. The Gasparilla Bowl, UCF against Florida. Florida's a 7-point favorite. Brother Tommy.
I got two boys that go to Florida, one that went to Florida. So, actually, I think UCF's the better call, but I'm going to go with Florida.
T-Bodie.
I got no money on Florida or nobody going to school there, but I'm going to go with Florida. I only because they played Georgia well earlier in the year, and you know, they've been in some games. And UCF, I know, is down this year, but is pretty solid team.
Well, as a father of a UCF alum, I'm going with the Golden Knights. So, okay, T-Bodie, you're up first on this one. The Hawaii Bowl, Memphis against Hawaii. And Memphis is an 8.5-point favorite.
Well, that's a tough one because, gosh, you know, Hawaii's right there. You know, back in the day, what was the quarterback from Hawaii that was so good about 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, for like 500 yards a game. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Kelly, fun to watch. I don't know what happened to him. But anyhow, and I used to, you know, I would always take Hawaii. I don't know anything about either of those teams. Memphis is favored by over a touchdown.
Memphis, yeah, 8.5 points. On Hawaii. I mean, that's what's weird to me.
Yeah, and it's in Hawaii. You know, that's just such a long travel and stuff. I'll take Memphis. I'll go with the favorite.
Okay, Brother Tommy, how about you?
I'm going upset. I'll go Hawaii.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to join Brother Tommy on that one. I'm going to go with Hawaii. You know what? I remember that 1988 Iowa went out there to play Hawaii and we lost. So.
Yeah, but the difference is here they're getting there 2 weeks early. The time constraint ain't going to be that big of a deal for a bowl game when you go out for a regular game. Yeah, when you fly from Brigham Young and you go down to Hawaii, that makes a difference. But not with this much time, they get there a week and a half early thereabouts. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we'll go with that. Okay, the Camellia Bowl. Brother Tommy, this is Georgia State versus Ball State. Ball State is a 6-point underdog. And again, remember, they're out of the MAC. So.
Yeah, I understand. I'm going to still go with Ball State. The MAC is going to make a change, in other words. They're going to turn it around.
Okay. T. Bodie, what do you think?
Who's playing?
Georgia State versus Ball State. Georgia State's favored by 6.
I'll take Suck My Ball State.
Okay. Well,
and I got to tell you the backstory on it. I took my family, I've taken them to a couple of Iowa games, but usually they're outside of conference games, right, when you can afford tickets for 4. And one of the first ones was Ball State. And we're sitting there on the Iowa side at about the – goal line, and whoever was like 3 rows behind us the entire game kept yelling, "Suck my Ball State," and my kids were like 5 and 9 at the time, and they've never forgotten that.
They couldn't tell you a play about the game, but they remember that. That's so classic.
Yeah.
Some of the best memories, huh? Okay, T-Bodie, you're first on this one. The Quick Lane Bowl, Western Michigan versus Nevada. Nevada is a 6.5-point underdog.
Real quick tidbit. The quarterback from Hawaii was Colt Brennan.
Colt Brennan, okay.
And he died.
Yeah.
He died in May of this year.
Yeah,
that's right.
I remember
I reported
that.
On it, yeah.
The age of 37.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played a couple of years in the NFL. Okay, go on to your pick. I'm sorry.
No, your pick. Your Western Michigan versus Nevada. Nevada's a 6.5-point underdog. And they're without their head coach. They're without their head coach, Jay Norvell.
Yeah, Norvell's gone, Norvell left.
A former Hawkeye
Norvell just
took the Colorado State job.
Jay Norvell, yeah.
That's true. He did leave. I was going to say, they were doing pretty good. Yeah, I'll go. What'd you say? It was Western Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take them.
Okay. Brother Tommy?
I'm going to – I got burned on what's his name leaving when he left TCU or LSU, one of the U's. So when the coach left and they ended up romping him. So I'm going to actually stick with Nevada or go with Nevada.
Okay.
By the Norvell leaving, who was a great coach. I thought he would have a shot at him, but
I'm going Nevada for the simple reason they're a MAC. Western Michigan's a MAC school, and the MAC is going to go 0-8 this bowl season. So, Military Bowl, Boston College against East Carolina. Boston College is favored by 3. Brother Tommy.
They gave us a good game. I just don't see them getting fired up, but I'm going to go Boston College nonetheless. They gave us a good game in the Pinstripe Bowl.
T-Bodie.
Yeah, I'll take the Pirates, East Carolina.
Ooh, going off the board. I'm going with Boston College because
East Carolina is a good team. That's a good pick.
Oh no, I was thinking Eastern Michigan. Okay. Oh yeah, yeah, it is a pickup. I still think I'm going to go with East Carolina because I think they. Okay. Now this next one. This is a good one. T-Bone, you're up first on this one. Houston, the Birmingham Bowl, Houston versus Auburn. Auburn is a 2.5-point favorite.
Screw Auburn. They killed me all the first of the year. Every time I took them, they'd lose, and every time I didn't take them, they'd win. Yeah, take Auburn.
Okay, Brother Tommy.
Well, every time he took them, they lost. So I'm going anti-T-Bodie on that one.
I go Houston?
Yeah, I'm going Houston because T-Bodie just got done saying every time he ever picks Auburn, they lose. So it's kind of like your MAC conference theory. Okay, well, T-Bodie's going to keep up his losing streak on this one, so I'm going Houston. I was going to go Auburn, but I like these odds better.
I'm going Houston as well. I'm going Houston as well, just because they beat SMU, and when SMU was looking to make a run. So, okay, this is the First Responders Bowl. Brother Tommy, you're up. Air Force versus Louisville. Louisville is a 1.5-point favorite.
Wow, that's interesting. I think Air Force keeps on their run. They've done me no problems this year. The only time I picked them, they won, so I'm going to go Air Force.
Okay, T. Bodie.
When I lived in Colorado, and I recommend anyone that can ever get to an Air Force game in Colorado Springs to go, because it was one of the most fun college football games I've ever been to. You know, the cadets in the stand, they run that wishbone offense, or they did back then, and just all the they have flyovers, and then all the little things on the sideline, and the cadets come out and do push-ups. I love Air Force when they're good. I don't know how well they are this year, and I'll take them just so I can have a rooting interest in them.
Yeah,
beautiful campus too. Older sister and older sister's husband took me to when we were in Colorado Springs. He was ex Air Force, so he got us on the campus and all of that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. You know that B-52 as you drive in, and
yep.
The whole place, the academy is cool.
Okay, next up, I'm going with Air Force as well. Now, next up, the Liberty Bowl, Mississippi State versus Texas Tech. Mississippi State is a 9.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I got to take Mississippi State.
Who's that that said Mississippi State?
T-Bodie.
Okay, Brother Tommy?
Mississippi State.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see. I just don't think Texas Tech is.
That one's too much of a stretch. Yeah, I look for upsets, but that's too much of a stretch.
They got coaching stuff changes.
Okay, Brother Tommy, you're up on this one. The Holiday Bowl in San Diego sees UCLA against North Carolina State. North Carolina State's a 1-point favorite.
Yeah, I'm going UCLA.
Yeah, I agree. T-Bodie?
Yeah, I'm a UCLA on that one.
Yeah, I am as well. I could be contrarian, but no. Okay, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. I wish Holger was still on. This is a good one. The Guaranteed Rate Bowl, West Virginia versus Minnesota, 4.5-point favorite. T-Bodie.
Where's that played at?
Guaranteed. Who knows? Who knows where any of them are?
Anymore.
Yeah.
Especially when
I can tell you right now where the Hawaii Bowl is.
I will go with Minnesota. I'll stay with the Big Ten.
Brother Tommy?
I will go contrarian here. I'll go West Virginia. I guess it's not contrarian, but contrarian to T-Bodie. Yeah, I'm going to go West Virginia.
No, I'm going Minnesota. Our victory over them has to mean something. So them winning their bowl game
makes
us look better.
That they suck.
Yeah.
And they have no,
They beat Wisconsin, though, and got us into the championship. So, okay, this is a good one.
I think the rivalry is a little bit bigger between
this is a good one. And you don't. And the first person that asks me where it's being played is going to get flogged. It's the Fenway Bowl, Southern Methodist against UVA, Virginia. Virginia is a 2.5-point favorite. Brother Tommy.
Fenway Park, if I'm not mistaken, that's Kansas City, which gives. That's a joke, fellas. Who's playing again? I had to be witty. And so
Southern Methodist against Virginia. Virginia is a 2.5-point favorite.
Oh, they got that awesome quarterback, but he let me down. So I'm going to go the other one, not Virginia.
SMU?
T-Bodie? Yeah, I'm losing my brain here. Yes, SMU.
T-Bodie?
SMU had a pretty decent year.
Yeah, well, they did.
Back in, you know, since back in the Dickerson days. I've got, as much as I want to go against your brother Tom, I've got to stay with SMU on this one.
Yeah, I do as well. Hayden Fry coached there, so you know they got something going for him. Okay, Hayden Fry coached it. He did coach at North Texas. At that point, North Texas State, I think it was called, but he coached at SMU before that. So, okay, next up, this is another baseball-themed bowl, the Pinstripe Bowl, Maryland, Virginia Tech. Maryland is a 3.5-point favorite. Brother Tommy.
Virginia Tech.
T-Bodie.
Yeah, I'll take Maryland.
As will I. Big Ten's going to go undefeated in bowls this year. I can feel it. I can just feel it. Which means Michigan State. Okay, well, that's it. That's the rest of the games. There are actually two more games Wednesday night, including ISU-Clemson, but hopefully we're going to go early that day. So that the next week pickers will involve those. I haven't decided yet if we're going to do it by who wins, like whether it'll be all of us calling in or if it'll be just Indy Hawk for picks next week. But like I said, we got a family commitment. Brother Tommy does as well. So we will have to go early that day if we do anything. So anyway, what's T-Bodie, what do you got planned for Christmas?
My brother from Colorado came back. My son is 24th birthday is today. We're in Omaha working until Friday.
Okay.
I don't know if Christmas is really going to even register on my radar this year.
Yeah. No, I think all this stuff is going on.
Yeah. No, you just told me that's the first I've looked at any of those football games. I have no idea. I've been so out of touch. It'll be very low Christmas.
Okay. Brother Tommy, I know what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's that Proxmire deal going? Gordo, you should know. Asshole. Remember that in Wall Street?
Yeah.
You know exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to Orlando. I'm going to see you and Mrs. Hank for a couple of days and, God willing, a couple of sisters that live in that area. And other than that, my third boy, I've got two boys here now. Third boy's coming over on Friday. He works till Friday. And so we're going to have the family on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, and it's going to be a very, very chilled Christmas.
Yeah. I finally filed my stuff to get press credentials for the Citrus Bowl. So if I pull that off, that would be awesome. So
very neat.
Yeah, very cool. So anyway, okay, guys, well, we've pretty much hit. You saying something, T-Bodie?
I said, who's playing in that bowl game?
Yeah, exactly.
There's two washed-ups.
Real quick, I got to throw in, and I think you guys probably saw it because I commented about it, but working in Carver-Hawkeye last week for those two dates, that was for sure the assistant coach I rode up the elevator with. What a great, nice guy. He just jumped in on our conversation and wished us all a good weekend, that type of thing. And the feeling of being in Carver-Hawkeye and being in, next to the locker rooms and stuff and seeing a bunch of kids running around, just it's so much enthusiasm there. It was neat.
No, I'm certainly jealous. Wow. Did you get a chance to go over to Sports Column or any of the cool bars?
I didn't even go downtown Iowa City. My wife actually worked with us on the loadout and my son, and so we just grabbed some food and got out of there. It was, you know, drive 3 hours, work 3 hours. We got paid on 6 hours, so made it worth it.
Yeah.
Gas was paid.
Nice.
And we just went home.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's – I miss Iowa City all the time, but, you know, at the same time, you know, I'm not there. So anyway, but, yeah, it would be good. As we remember, we were all together at the last Citrus Bowl, and hopefully we see a similar result, although hopefully not a heart. You know what? If the Hawks win, it's going to be a heart-grabbing one because you know they're not going to put anything away. Even if they have a two-touchdown lead, you know we'll somehow let them back into it, which I hope they won't, but – sounds to me like they could, so, you know, just seems like the way things have gone.
You remember that finish, went the way that ended, the three of us were sitting next to each other, and we weren't close to each other. By the end of the high fives, I was 10 rows away, you were 10 rows away, Brother Tom was 10 rows away. The whole stadium was just giddy. So,
unbelievable. I remember the other thing was when we had – you remember Clinton Solomon got that early touchdown, and Brother Tommy looked at me and just said, oh, God, whenever this happens, this does not bode well for us. And then after LSU scored their last points, that was 46 of the worst seconds I've ever encountered. I mean, it was just, like, unbelievable to have, you know, after –
I literally said to Hank when that happened, that last touchdown that that quarterback threw, I forget his name, he became a pro. He was like their first quarterback.
Yeah,
Jamarcus Russell. After he threw that, I looked at Hank and I said, at the time, I knew you and stuff, but I'm like, I don't give a fuck about your friend. I was so pissed off. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about your friend. I don't give a fuck about late post-game tailgating. We are getting the fuck out of here. And then we came back and got that last second touchdown. Whole tune changed. Let's keep drinking.
No doubt. So okay,
well,
guys.
Thank you, Hank.
Thanks, guys. Thanks
all
for
right,
being
man.
On.
Y'all
and,
have a good
y'all have a yeah, you too. And I'll see you next, Brother Tommy, I'll see you next week, of course.
You got it.
Okay.
Merry
guys,
Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you all for listening. Be wise, the Serpents was in earlier. Who else? Oh, Holder, of course, was here. Thanks, Holder, for the call. Vito, Joseph Gibson, Indy Hawk in the chat room. Had a couple that dropped off on the phone, Sue, and a couple numbers I didn't recognize. And then Big Sister was in. And, of course, Mike, thanks for calling earlier. T. Bodie, Brother Tommy. Folks, have a great Christmas. It's remember, we forget. You know, we make it all commercial or we go through all the rigmarole and the, we got to get this done and that done, but find some time to enjoy it. Maybe with Christmas being on a Saturday, you can do that, but find time to enjoy it. Find time to remember the reason for the season, as they say. But whatever you do, have a great Christmas, and we will be here next week at whatever time we are. But you know what? Vito just gave a request, and so I'm honoring it. When Vito asks for it, let's put it this way. He didn't ask for Dominic the Donkey. So because of what he asked, I'm going to put it, we're going to play it. Brother Tommy, this is for Brother Tommy. Here we go.
This is TJ.
Dedicated
a song to Let Betty. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. She's from Birmingham. Bama Lamb, way down in Alabama. Bama Lamb, the way she shake that thing. Bama Lamb, boy, she make me sing. Bama Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. Bama Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. Bama Lamb, she really get me high. Bama Lamb, you know that's no lie. Bama Lamb, she's so rock steady. Bama Lamb, but she's always ready. Bama Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. 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 Bama Lamb. She must be out of her mind. Bama Lamb, she must think I'm blind. Bama Lamb, oh.
beat over man.
She got me arrested on Tuesday up in jail. Wednesday my trial was attested. Thursday she posted my bail. Friday we went walking. Saturday I was out of my door. On Sunday we was talking. Back on Monday she pawned all my clothes. Oh, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb. Oh, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb. She from Birmingham, Bamba Lamb. Way down in Alabama, Bamba Lamb. The way she shake that thing, Bamba Lamb. Boy, she make me sing. She really get me high. Bama Lamb, you know that's no lie. Bama Lamb, she's so rock steady. Bama Lamb, but she's always ready. Bama Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. 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 Bama Lamb.
Good night, folks. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.